your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
Good day, and welcome to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Reiki Master and host Phyllis Lei Forimoto, as she shares with you inspiring stories along with her practical wisdom for finding balance with spirit in everyday life. Now here's your host, Phyllis Forimoto.
Hello, this is Phyllis Forimoto with Reiki Balancing Form and Essence. I have with me today Regina O'Mahony. Is that right?
That's right.
All right. I'm getting tested. First there's a Russian name, then there's an Italian name, now there's an Irish name. Regina, I've known Regina for many, many years, and you're now living in Cork again, right?
Yes.
She's from Cork, Ireland, and she has really been an inspiration for me in her Reiki practice, her public practice, and also in just the way she is with Reiki. So, welcome, Regina, to the show.
Thank you.
That's wonderful to have you for a whole hour. So, can you start at the beginning and tell me, how did you find Reiki?
I found it because I was teaching yoga, and a poster came in my door, a flyer from a fellow yoga teacher, who said there was a Reiki master coming to Ireland to give a class, and it was happening up in Kerry, which is about 50 miles away from where I live. And that night I was just looking at the poster, but what caught my eye was the word healing, and I had separated just about a year beforehand. I had three children, and I felt that, you know, no matter what I did and how much praying or yoga or everything I did, it just didn't take the pain away. Mm-hmm. And then I saw this word healing. Now, I didn't know what kind of healing I needed, because physically I was very, very healthy, and I thought I was fairly steady in my mind. But anyway, I figured I couldn't afford it because the kids were too old. Taking too much money from me. They were teenagers, and, you know, they were taking too much, you know, I just needed to spend money on them, right? And it was difficult enough. So my mother rang me, who was a good Irish Catholic woman, and I told her about this on the phone, and she said to me, "But Virginia," she said, "what kind of healing is it?" And I said, "I don't know," because it just had the kanji on the thing. And I said, "Well, it could be Japanese or Chinese, I'm not sure." So she said, "Look," she said, "if I give you the money, why don't you go?" She said, "I think you need it." And I thought, oh, well. And then I had to think, well, the kids were too old to get a babysitter, and too young to leave on their own. And I was away from my family, so now I didn't know what I was going to do. But anyway, I went in and I started telling the people in the yoga class that this was happening, and, you know, they could go and learn this thing, healing thing called Reiki. And one of the girls that I didn't know was an ex-nun, and she said, "Are you doing the class, Regina?" And I said, "No, I'm not." And she said, "Why not?" And I said, "Well, you know, it's not that easy to get away." And she said, "I was teaching at home." She said, "Well," she said, "I'd love to come and stay in your house. I'd walk the dog. I'd feed the children. It would look like I was just a friend coming to stay. Go!" So that's how it started.
And gosh.
Yeah. And it was actually Peter Adler was my Reiki master.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Wow.
First degree, Peter
wow.
Adler. But when we were leaving, he just said, "Give yourself a Reiki treatment every day." And of course, I was quite disciplined with my yoga, and I thought, first of all, how am I going to tell my mother what I did on this thing that I spent her money on? Because it was, you know, there was nothing to tell her. So I said, "Well, the only thing I can do is I can do what he asked. I can treat myself every day. And by doing that, it's my gratitude to her for giving me the money to do the class," which I did. And I discovered I was very tired and I slept an awful lot. But I also discovered that that hole that was in my head, that's the only way I can describe it, seemed to be filling in some way, and it was just the self-treatment. And
oh,
I just
wonderful.
You know, I just kept doing it. And, you know, when I look at, you know, the four aspects now, I think, well, I think for me it was just spiritual, really, in a way, that I went into this, because I found then when I did my yoga, my meditation, things were much stiller, and you know, there was a still point that I hadn't had before. It was a quantum leap, I would say.
Mm.
And I was hugely excited about it. And I started giving my children little bits of Reiki. Am I saying too much on this now?
No, okay. Keep going.
So the children loved it, and they'd bring their friends in if they hurt themselves or anything like that. And I had a couple of amazing things that happened very quickly after taking the class. Within the first few months, my daughter brought in a friend who'd had a motorbike accident and had a huge chunk of his leg removed and grafted. And he used to get this dreadful cramp that he would actually cry. And he was in his early 20s, you know, muscular kind of a guy, you know. And she said, Mom, do your thing. He's in terrible pain. So I didn't have a Reiki table. I had nothing. I just put him down on the floor and gave him a few minutes, you know, about 15 minutes on his head because I was going out. Went down to his leg and did some Reiki on his leg. And I could feel all this hopping going on under my hands. And the next thing, he just jumped up and I called him and he said, oh, the pain is gone. You know, he never remembered ever having that treatment, ever. And he used to come into our house afterwards when I would teach Reiki, and he'd look at the Reiki masters and he'd go, ooh, the funny men are up again. But I know for a fact he used to go for cortisone injections, and I know for a fact he never had a cortisone injection after that again. And I know it was Reiki teaching me the power of this. It was nothing to do with his leg getting better.
Uh-huh.
Because he didn't care about having a cortisone injection. I would have cared about it, but he didn't care about it. It was just part of his life. And then my dog was dying. That was my next one. And my vet was going to put him down. And my youngest daughter said to me, Mom, you know, do Reiki on the dog. So I treated him every day. He said, take him home for 10 days. And every day for 10 days, I treated him. And we thought, Paul and I, that he looked an awful lot better. And when we went back to the vet looked at him and he said, oh, gosh, he said, I'm a much better vet than I thought I was. He said, this dog has turned the corner. He's pushed through his illness. And he lived for another 4 years.
Wow.
So again, like, the dog couldn't tell me how grateful he was. So I figured it was Reiki telling me again a story.
Uh-huh.
And that's what started me. And I had a business at the time, which I closed. And I started doing everything to make money so that I could probably do a Reiki practice. So I started doing supermarket promotions, cutting up sausages and telling people to taste them. And I started doing surveys for the government so that I could bring in some cash to continue doing what I was doing. I was still teaching maybe one or two yoga classes a week. And through that, people started asking me, especially when I was doing the surveys, you know, I would sit and the person might just start to cry when I'd ask them a question. I'd say, you're all right. And because I did it on women's health, a lot of it was on women's health I was doing.
So you would ask them questions about their health?
Yeah, that's right.
Wow.
And then they'd start talking about it, you see, and then I'd tell them, you know, oh, well, I did this thing called Reiki, and, you know, my and they started coming for treatments. And then somebody came from the local newspaper and had a treatment and said, wow, this is great. And she said, I'd like to write about this, you know. And then I said, well, you really need to have a 4-day Reiki treatment to see what it's really like. So, but I said, I'm not giving you a 4-day, you know. She had one treatment because she asked me, could she feel what Reiki was like?
Uh-huh.
But I said, you know, if you're going to have a 4-day, you'll come as a client. So she said, fine, I'll book in with you. And she booked and paid for her 4 treatments and wrote an article, and they picked it up on our national television, actually, and they did came to the house. And at this stage now, for about a year and a half, I had no Reiki table. I just had a mattress on the floor that I sat down and treated people on, because I couldn't afford to buy a table, because they were so expensive in those days.
Yeah, they were hardly around, and the ones that were around were very expensive.
That's right. So yeah. I met this man, actually, through Kristen, who was a carpenter, and he built me a Reiki table with a door. He put it up on top of a wooden frame, and we got foam and put it up. And they came with the television cameras from National. So that obviously opened up a huge door for me at the time. And
uh-huh. And so were you first degree at this point?
No, still? I had no. This was a year later. I did a second degree a year later. I waited for a year, and then I did second degree. And it was after I did second degree. Well, people started coming, you know, prior to doing second degree. You know, just the people I had met doing my surveys. But it was probably me trying to learn about Reiki more than anything. But I actually recognized it then that I needed Reiki. That was the trigger point for me, because I did do a couple of 4 days before I found someone who had Usushiki Reiki in the area. And it was actually a student of Kristen's who was living in Carrigaline. And he came and treated me. And that's how I learnt about what I needed as far as receiving Reiki. So it was after I did second degree then all the other stuff happened. That kind of all just went.
Wow.
Yeah.
And what year was this?
1991. June 1991 I did first degree. I did second degree in June 1992. It was through that year that, and I met Kristen then very shortly afterwards, who was my initiating master. And she came to a gathering to a friend of mine who had done Reiki as well. And two people invited me to the gathering. Not knowing, like, and I met Kristen there. And Kristen went away because there were a big group of us around, and I figured she wouldn't remember me. And three people had offered to organize a class for Kristen. And she wrote, you know, saying, oh, she wrote to the three people, and the three people came to me and said, you know, Kristen's after writing, we think maybe you should organize the class. And that's how I started with Kristen, and I organized her classes for her, and that's how she came to Ireland. Yeah.
Wow, yeah. That's an amazing story.
Yeah.
Well, it's fascinating what you're saying about the people who came to you and said, well, I think you should organize it. It felt like they were acting on something other than just their mind, that they have some intuition, or they felt like your energy. I don't know. What do you think what do you think that was about?
Well, two of them had done Reiki. I think they saw my passion for it. And the other girl has never done Reiki and still hasn't done Reiki. And she was an old school friend of mine that Kristen met through Frances.
Amazing.
Yeah, she was a school friend of mine that I went to school with.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting connections.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Reiki stories are just wonderful. It's great to hear yours, Regina. We're going to break now for a few minutes, and we'll be back after the station break. This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki Balancing Form and Essence.
Taking you to the threshold of a dream and beyond. Seventh Wave Network.
Never before in the history of live radio have such illuminating revelations challenged everything we thought we knew about the hidden realms. This exceptional mystic, seer, and healer creates a truly amazing bridge across the chasm that has separated man for eons from the unseen worlds of mystery. Join host Al Mean for an extraordinary and enlightening hour by Walking Between the Worlds on Voice America's Seventh Wave Network. Walking Between the Worlds airs live every Wednesday at 7 a.m. Pacific Time right here on the Seventh Wave Network.
Are you tired of carrying a heavy wooden massage table around? Is your back sore? Or do you have imprints of cables and braces on your kneecaps after sitting and giving a Reiki treatment? Try a lightweight Astrolight massage table for maximum comfort. Contact us, Paul or Upasana, at www.portablemassagetables.com. Astrolight, the table of a lifetime.
Over there? Over there's the water. Whoosh, whoosh. And look at all this stuff I'm standing on. It's called sand, and it's everywhere.
This woman may sound silly to you and me.
It's made up of little tiny pieces of rocks. Teeny little pieces of rocks.
But to her 2-year-old son exploring the world around him, she makes perfect sense.
How does it feel when you touch the sand? Is it warm?
Uh-huh.
It's hard to hold in your hand, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Learning starts long before school does, and children are naturally curious. They want to learn, so follow their lead. Take simple, everyday moments, like sorting laundry or playing on the beach, and turn them into learning moments.
Is this water?
No.
Very good. This is sand. Oh, no, it's not food. It's sand. We don't eat sand.
Turn everyday moments into learning moments. Find out how at pornlearning.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
The new home for visionary positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Forimoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. We're back with Regina from Ireland. And Regina, let's see, 1991. So was that like one of the first classes in Ireland, do you think, that was taught?
Yeah, it would have been. Well, I don't know. Actually, it was definitely in Southern Ireland. I'm not sure if somebody had come into Dublin or not at that stage.
So Peter Adler was from Switzerland.
That's
like,
right.
How did he get there?
I actually have no idea. I think it was actually in a fellow Reiki or yoga student. She was a yoga teacher with me, and she organized it in her house. I actually don't know how he got there. He taught two first degree classes in Ireland. And he never came back again.
Wow, that's interesting. Well, he is an interesting man. Yeah. Well, anyway, as you grew with Reiki, so did Reiki grow with Ireland. So I'm just wondering, can you say a little bit about that? Like, how did that work? Because Ireland is very, I see it as a very Catholic country. And, it's always so interesting. There are Catholic priests and nuns that have taken Reiki. There's a bishop that's taken Reiki, and they love it and they support it and so on. And then there are other priests and nuns who, fear it. So I'm just wondering, how was that for you in Ireland, and how was it received, do you think, in your own opinion?
I think because... I know I said, they did it, they put it in the papers and stuff like that, but, having said that, it was still very low-key. It wasn't, out there screaming at anybody. And even though they had those features a day, it comes out in one day, or, something's on television for 5 minutes, it's gone.
Uh-huh.
It's if there was something else moving all the time, I think, literature or stuff like that might have created something, but it didn't. It didn't create anything. Not for several years. And then there was a little bit of stuff going on about it, but I just never responded. I just didn't get involved in it. If people said something, I just didn't respond, and then it just died.
Huh.
I just said, there's no point. That's just like adding fuel to somebody's, perception of something. And because I see Reiki as something I can't really talk about. I'm talking about myself here. Really.
But you can talk about your story for sure.
Yeah, but it's just, therefore I just didn't want to get into any challenges around it because I just felt there was nothing to talk about really.
So did you experience you said that you had an ex-nun in your yoga class, but
that's
I'm
right.
just wondering, did you have them come to your classes?
Oh, I did, yes. Several nuns. Several nuns did Reiki with me.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And what was their experience?
They loved it. They absolutely loved it. They just found it really beautiful.
Uh-huh.
And they loved the stillness. And I must say, I do teach in silence and preach in silence, and they loved the silence. They found that the most amazing thing, to sit in stillness, in silence, without having to be distracted by something else.
Uh-huh.
And that was generally the feedback from the and I've had priests as well, who came in not pretending they were priests, you know, just wearing ordinary clothes, and tell me afterwards they were a priest.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. That's sort of the other way around.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's great. So I would say that you were really passionate and then got very involved in community and did all kinds of things. But one of the things that I've always admired about you, and I think that this has to do with something about Reiki, that it chooses its practitioners or something, because it just seems like there are certain people that they take Reiki, and from the very first get-go, they have their hands on people, as you said, like a mattress on the floor and so on. So, but you've really kept up your Reiki practice, and a lot of the people that you treat are Reiki students.
Yes.
So that's really different than a lot of people, because I know that in the Reiki practitioner, for a lot of Reiki practitioners, they try to write brochures for people who don't have Reiki. But my contention is that the best audience is actually the Reiki students who know the value of Reiki. Mm-hmm. But there is this little kind of, I don't know if I could call it resistance, but there is a kind of holding back, or maybe we don't think about it, of when we get into a crisis, whether it's physical or spiritual or emotional, that we don't actually call somebody and say, you know, like, I need Reiki treatments every day for as long as this lasts. Mm-hmm. Do you have any opinion about that? Like, why is that?
I don't know. I honestly don't know, because I do meet Reiki students of mine and Reiki people, and I say, you know, why aren't you having some Reiki treatments? And it's like, oh, I never thought of that.
I never thought of that. Isn't that funny? You know,
and it's just like, why? Why? But then, I suppose, around where I lived, there were so many people who did Reiki, and then they began to understand the benefits of Reiki, and they work in other jobs.
Uh-huh.
And then they would see that, you know, I need a 4-day, or I need Reiki for a week. You know, I'm having a situation where, you know, things are not going okay, either physically, mentally, or emotionally, or maybe even spiritually in their lives. And they just know that if they have some Reiki treatments, and they'll come and they'll pay for their treatments, and they'll have their treatments. But then other people just don't see it that way. They just say, oh, yeah, I did that course.
That's so interesting, huh? Well, I've always appreciated your ability to be open and encourage people to do Reiki treatments, because I think that's really wonderful. And this is a little note to all you Reiki student listeners out there, to consider having Reiki treatments when you really are in a bind and you need to have support. Sometimes having an exchange doesn't really work, because then you obligate yourself to giving. So how would you describe the difference between an exchange and going to a Reiki practitioner?
Oh, it's just completely different. I can't explain it. It is completely different. You book your times when you go to somebody. You respect their time. You pay for it. You're actually treating yourself. You know, it's. I suppose getting a Reiki treatment to me is a little bit like, this is my little story, right? That I have my breakfast, lunch, and dinner at home every day.
Uh-huh.
And every so often I go out for dinner.
Uh-huh.
Now, going to a Reiki practitioner, spend that extra money and go out and have my treatment, and I can just lie there and receive the Reiki. Now, whether it brings up all the little demons inside of me and makes, you know, and I cry or whatever, I know it's, if you like, squeezing something. And so therefore, yeah, it's completely different to receive treatments from somebody else and to actually go to their place away from your own practice.
Uh-huh.
And go in and sit down and be treated like,
uh-huh.
you know, like to somebody.
Interesting. Yeah. 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 I think it's amazing. And I wish there were more people who had Reiki, what I would call Reiki practices. So you've done several long-term treatments. How long is the longest treatment you've ever done? Or received, I would say.
Oh, received. A month.
A month.
30 days.
Okay, so how is that? So were you in a desperate state and you needed 30 treatments? Or?
Well, no, because I was recommending it. And I had treated one or two people.
Uh-huh.
And I thought, this isn't fair. I'm talking about something I don't understand myself.
Uh-huh.
So I decided. Now, I didn't pay for all of those treatments.
Uh-huh.
Some of them were in exchange, you know. We didn't do an exchange. They treated me, and then we kept a notebook of what I owed if they wanted a treatment. Like say some of the people who treated me in that 30 days asked for a four-day. So uh-huh. They would give me a four-day, but it would be, you know, I was receiving the treatment, that was it. It was my time, there was nothing else, and they went away. And then when all of this was over, I gave them a four-day.
Oh, that's a good way to exchange it. So it wasn't on the same day or even period
not
of time.
Oh, no, not at all. No. Gosh, no. I never did. I just said, no, this is my time and these are my treatments and this is how we set it up. And it's a bit of organizing because you have to get on the phone and you have to ring and you have to sort it out and, you know.
Yes, I know.
Yeah.
I mean, that's payment in and of itself on some level because it's your time and energy to do that.
Yeah. So I just wanted to experience what it felt like to actually put myself there to receive Reiki in that period of time.
Uh-huh. And?
And?
What was it like? I mean, are you going to tell me that it didn't have any effect?
Oh, gosh, no.
Okay.
No. I mean, I went through emotion stuff. Stuff went through my head from way back, and I figured some fears left my body. Like I had a fear of heights. It disappeared. Don't know where it disappeared to, but it disappeared.
Wow, that's amazing.
And I didn't have these treatments to get rid of my fear of heights. It was just part of me and my life that I had.
Kind of the old part of you.
Yeah, and I just knew that I had this fear I wouldn't go too close to the edge or, you know, something like that. And then
wow.
So, I mean, that's only one tiny little thing. And then, you know, there were other emotional things and, you know, situations in my life. And you know what it brought about? I mean, we were talking about gratitude. Forgiveness.
Hmm.
That would have been very big. Forgiveness.
Uh-huh.
And it was like, and sometimes forgiving myself.
Uh-huh.
Which is more than sometimes, you know, forgiving myself to allow myself to feel this way about a situation.
Right.
You know, it was just, yeah, forgiveness was a big one that came up in the 30 days.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, I have this theory about therapy, and that is that if you go in a crisis, then you're dealing kind of on the crisis level of everything, but you never really get to what I would call the core of what's going on. And when I go to therapy, when I'm feeling like I don't really need to go, then what happens is I drop down into this very deep place where some of these things are sorted out in a really graceful and beautiful way. It sounds like that was what happened with you and your treatment.
Absolutely.
So we don't have to be desperate to go get Reiki treatments.
It's interesting. I was talking to someone here since we had our last meeting. And she was saying, you know, talking about having treatments. And she was talking about an event in her life that she would return from and receive Reiki. And I said to her, why don't you have Reiki before you go to the... And she looked at me and she said, prepare rather than repair. And I said, perfect. Because I said to her, prepare. People ring me when they go for surgery or something and say, I'll have some treatments when I come home. And I say, no, have them before you go.
Right.
Get ready. Get yourself organized. Get ready, you know. It's this. Put yourself in a place, you know, before you take on what you're going to take on.
Yeah.
Not afterwards. Not when you're, yes, afterwards as well. But not when you're, you know, when I'm desperate, you know, I need these treatments now. When you're, you know you're going to have something done, you're really not feeling that bad, But it's going to, like, maybe surgery, as I say, something like that. Prepare yourself.
Yeah, great idea. I love that. Prepare and repair. Yeah. I like that part. That's great. Yeah. That's wonderful. Yeah. Wonderful. Well, this is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki Balancing Form and Essence. We'll be right back.
Awakened Media for a transforming world. Seventh Wave Network.
Reiki treatments can be done almost anywhere, on the floor, on a bed, or even on the dining room table. But I certainly prefer giving and receiving treatments on my comfortable, lightweight Astrolite massage table. Contact us for more information at www.portablemassagetables.com. Astrolite, the table of a lifetime.
Marissa, are you ready yet? I know you can hear me. You are not missing school again. Marissa! You trying to be a nobody or something? Let's go! All right then. Hit it. I know you can hear this. Hey guys, move closer. Girl, I am not leaving.
Hey, whatever it takes, don't let your friends drop out. A real friend can make all the difference.
Cut that noise, yo! I'm coming! Took you long enough. Thanks for the help, guys.
For more ways to help, go to OperationGraduation.com. A public service message from the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
Create a life with growth, balance, abundant peace of mind, and joy. Tune in and call into Spirits Evolving with pragmatic psychic and certified hypnotherapist, Lee Channing. By using the simple tools for growth offered by Lee, including intuition, color awareness, creative visualization, and more, build a stronger understanding of your own energy and offer clear, unencumbered energy to those with whom you share your life. Whether for an individual or a business, home environment, or your office, Lee evaluates and interacts with the energy at hand, providing an analysis of the problem and a description of the options available to move forward successfully and with grace. Spirits Evolving with Lee Channing, broadcast each Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, on the Seventh Wave Network, your online community for positive change. Spirits Evolving, your guide toward a life filled with more balance, intention, and contentment.
Listening on a higher dimension. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Furumoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. I'm here with Regina from Cork, Ireland, and we've been talking about her experience of public practice. Public practice is becoming really a big topic, especially in Europe, because with the advent of the European community, a lot of the countries have been looking at each other's policies toward these different ways of care that people have been choosing. And of course, it's very different in the United States because at least here, well, I would say here in Europe, homeopathy and acupuncture and a lot of different, what we would call alternative therapies, are just naturally a part of medical care here. Mm-hmm. So then we get into Reiki, and I'm just wondering, what's Reiki doing in Ireland in this particular field? Because in Norway and also in Germany, it's now been identified as spiritual healing. So it has nothing to do with the medical profession, mm-hmm. which is very interesting.
Well, I don't think there's been any definition put on Reiki in Ireland yet, as far as that's concerned. But I do know that, you know, it is involved with Reiki. There's a group of people called the Federation of Complementary Therapies of Ireland.
Wow.
Know, FICTA is called. And I was involved with it for several years with another girl. We co-chaired it. And our object was to get some kind of honouring or recognition of complementary therapy within the government. So that they could open a door somewhere. It took us about, I say about 4 years. And at the end of the 4 years, they agreed to form what was known as a working party within the government. And they had a side party that worked just talking about complementary therapy, how it could fit into the system and all of that. And it's still running there at the moment. But of course, with this financial state of everything at the moment, I think it may go on hold for a while. I didn't stay there any longer. Once we got to the point where we had somebody listening to us, I just, it was time to leave. So I stepped out. But as far as Reiki is concerned, I know that some centres do have Reiki. You know, some of the hospitals have it as part of their complementary section. The difference with the other therapies, like the homeopathy and acupuncture, they can be covered by your personal insurance. They actually cover these, like they would a medical doctor or whatever.
Right.
But not Reiki. Reiki isn't in there. They haven't defined it as anything. It hasn't been.
Well, that'd be really interesting.
Yeah.
So what do you think about this? So we've just talked about the advantages of paying for a treatment. And I'm wondering, how would you feel if you Reiki actually became if it became possible in Ireland that the insurance company paid for Reiki treatments? What do you think about that?
I don't know, because perhaps it might, you know, I know there's this thing about giving the money in exchange or doing something in exchange, but for me Reiki has a funny little way of working itself out. If you actually don't, If you honour it, or well, if I honour it, not you, if I honour it as a practitioner, and sometimes the person may not have the money, but I can guarantee you something will come that will be really clear, you know, that will pay for the treatment, or the, sorry, not the practitioner, but the recipient.
Okay, why don't you start again? I didn't quite get this. Okay.
Okay.
Okay, what about...
if they paid for it.
Okay, so somebody comes to you and they don't have any money. Is that what you're saying?
Well, it has never really happened.
Okay.
It's always been, it's always, well, it, no, that's
okay,
not
this is a hypothetical situation.
I did have a situation like that where somebody told me she didn't have very much money. And at the time I was starting, so I dropped my, what I was charging to a very minimum rate and recognized at the end of it that she... And I was paying for my children's education, everything at the time, and I realised that she could have bought my house. She had so much money. And I felt it was nothing to do with her. It was to do with me. And it was to do with me not honouring what I was doing. Now, as far as the government paying, I used to have an issue about it. I'm not sure if I do anymore. I used to. But I do believe there has to be exchange in some way from the person receiving it.
So could it be that they show up on time and...
No.
Actually, no, it's more than that.
No, it's more than that. More than that. It has to be honoured in some way. Because it's. I just think it's so simple and so... It just needs to be honoured. I just feel that it's... that's all I can say. Just needs to be honored. There it has to be.
Well, it'll be really interesting because I think that actually with the way things are going and also the focus, and I hope that this is not a false focus, but the focus in a lot of for a lot of insurance companies these days, especially on the European continent, as far as I know, like Germany, the Netherlands, Denmark, they're all very into preventative medicine. Mm-hmm. And they see Reiki and a number of other therapies as preventative, you know, as preventative therapy. So for them, I think they're very close, you know, in paying.
To covering
Reiki. Yeah, to cover Reiki, yeah. Wow. And I think that in the United States, it might take a bit more time, but there needs to be some precedent. And, you know, if the European, all the insurance companies are now international. Mm. So, you know, if one of their branches is successful in this, then the others will follow through. Yeah. So I think we're very, very close. I also have a lot of question about it. And, yeah, I don't know. I feel the same about this honoring part. Mm. And I don't know if it always has to be money. Yeah. I know that it doesn't, and I know that there are people who receive treatment under what I would call Reiki service, people who go into hospices and so on, who have great benefit, and they don't pay for it because it's done, you know, because of service. So there is something about that, and I think it'll be another step in our learning about the nature of money and the nature of commitment to healing. And what that is.
Yeah.
Yeah. That'll be very, very interesting.
Yeah. I think, I don't know, because I haven't experienced it.
Uh-huh.
So I really don't know.
Uh-huh. That's interesting.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Well, I have experienced it, but not not with the government paying for it. You know, it's been different.
Oh, like other people paying for, you know, like gifting treatments.
Yes.
Has that worked out?
That actually has some, but do you know what I think it is? I think if it's just one treatment, I don't think it. I think if you do the 4-day with somebody and somebody gives them a gift of the 4-day, I really do think something happens in that 4 days, in that 4-day treatment, that person can't miss. Could I tell you a funny story? Have you time?
Sure.
I had a mechanic who sent his wife for Reiki. She had a persistent cough. And he said, would that thing you do help her? You know. And I said, I don't know, I've no idea. And he said, how? And I told him 4 days, whatever. And he said, okay, that's fine, I'll book her in. And he booked her in for her treatments. This is a long time ago now, Phyllis. This is probably 94, 95. And anyway, she came for her treatments, coughing, holding a towel, a persistent cough, very angry woman. Very, very good. He told me to come in here, you know. So I kind of said, no, you don't need to have Reiki. It's fine. I'll take you home. She couldn't drive, so I said, I'd drive home. No. She was having it. Anyway, the whole pattern of this repeated every day. As we came towards the last day, her cough subsided. But, of course, it was to do with the doctor who had given her a new medicine. No, and it didn't matter. I didn't care how her cough got better, who gave her what to make it better. She was getting better. And she decided she'd come back for another treatment a week later. And in the meantime, she paid me, and she gave me the money in an envelope that her husband had given her to pay. And at that time, I was charging £20 for a treatment.
Uh-huh.
And she came on the next day, and the following week. And when she was leaving, she was all chat, and she was feeling much better, but everybody was so good to her in the hospital, and it was all, you know, whatever. And she said, how much? She said, is it £20? And I said, yeah, that's right. I said, that's robbery for this, she said. And she walked out of the house in a storm. And I went, oops, what was that all about? So I had to go down to the mechanic again, because it was an old car at the time. And I went back down and I was thinking, oh, what's he going to say now? This poor man, you know. And he pulled me by the sleeve and he called me round to the side. He said, come here for a second. And I went over to him and he said, I have to thank you. And I said, for what? I don't know what you were doing up there, he said, but you took the devil out of her. Do you see? I think that he got the benefit of the treatment because he paid for it.
Uh-huh. Oh,
to this day, she wouldn't see it as being anything, except her cough got better, but it was something else in her mind got her cough better. But he felt that her angry personality changed after having her treatments.
Amazing. Well, that's an interesting perception. I've never looked at it quite that way. Fascinating.
I had another 4 days well with a girl with MS. She felt she got nothing from it, but her husband had asked me to do it. And her daughter rang me to thank me, to say, Mom doesn't see it, but the whole family sees the change.
Now, isn't that interesting? Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, it's time for another station break. I mean, I can't believe time is running so fast. This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.
Be extraordinary. Seventh Wave Network.
Dad, can I ask you something?
Sure.
There's this girl I kind of like.
Say no more.
You just have to impress her. Okay, but how?
Just, I don't know, pick up a lot of heavy things around her.
Like what?
You know, desks, chairs, people. Grunt if you have to.
Grunt?
Yeah, be like, There you go.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt U.S. Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
The law of attraction is very much in today's public awareness. In reality, it is not a new concept. Join Liana Carbone for Living Wisdom, the Art of Shamanism and Spirituality. Discover the roots of the law of attraction and go beyond its theories to manifest a life of balance and prosperity. Living Wisdom can be heard each Tuesday at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Seventh Wave Network. Come join us to dream, learn, and heal.
Hey, how you doing? Educational videos, top quality, right here.
You'll never hear anyone selling education on the street. But with free family learning programs, you can get the education you need. Call 1-877-FAMLIT1 for information on free learning programs. 1-877-FAMLIT1.
Check it out. Win your GED right here, guaranteed, ma. Come on, check it out.
Free family learning programs from the National Center for Family Literacy. Brought to you by the National Center for Family Literacy and the Ad Council.
Reiki practitioners everywhere prefer Astrolite massage tables because of optimum portability, leg clearance, easy setup, comfort, and quality. For 15 years, Rampa Enterprises, previously Magic Flute, has been shipping tables around the world to the global Reiki community.
Why wait any longer to get yours? Contact us now through our website at www.portablemassagetables.com and we'll help you select just the right table to fit your needs. Astrolite, the table of a lifetime.
Your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Furumoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. We're here with Regina, and this is our last segment. I mean, I'm trying to figure out how to cram everything I want to talk to you about in a few minutes. So one of the things that I find quite interesting, Regina, is that you came to a part of your life where you needed to kind of take a sabbatical from Reiki, and you got into what we should say the normal life.
Yeah,
the normal life. You learned how to play golf.
Well, I was starting.
Yeah.
I'm still a beginner.
That's good. And you kind of retired from Reiki for a while, yeah?
Yeah.
And what drew you back in?
When I say I retired from Reiki, I retired from a public practice or teaching or anything like that. I didn't retire from my self-treatment.
No, okay.
Or from
okay.
My exchanges with my family or my friends or my Reiki sharings or anything like that. Or going for treatments.
Uh-huh.
I still continued. But I just, I think that old feeling that I had, you know, that it was like my soul was squeezed.
Squeezed, a squeezed soul.
You know, it was, something was, you know, kind of dead inside or something. I can't explain it. It was just, there was something missing.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody was saying, you know, oh, you know, this won't work. It's, you know, Reiki, oh, everybody can't do it. And it's, you know, where are the practitioners? And, you know, it's everybody has other modalities to give with the Reiki. And I was offering nothing but Reiki. So I wasn't able to say, I'm going to give you a massage or a reflexology
right.
or whatever. But my heart was just pulled to go back again. And it's just as soon as I started, I just made the little website thing, and as soon as I started just putting the energy into just even thinking about it, people just started turning up again. You know, some lady who had moved away from where I was living moved back, and she called me and said, you know, she came, her son came, her husband's coming now. She sent someone, she's a homeopath, she's after sending me three people. You know, it's just been one thing after another and they're back. Everybody's back. And I just feel so different again.
Hmm. So what are the differences that you feel?
I don't know, it's, I suppose alive is the word.
Alive? But you were having a great time, having a vacation and traveling around and doing stuff, huh?
But is that great? I don't know, you see, Phyllis. I don't know. Maybe it's great for someone else. It looks from the outside. If you look out and you think you see someone and they're, you know, driving a nice car, they're going on holidays here and they have this social event and that social. Is it nice? I don't know. It's lovely. I mean, a little bit of it is nice. There's something about the balance for me.
Uh-huh.
About the stillness and the... And I think people... I think the communication, you know, being able to sit with somebody even for a few minutes, you know, before treatment and a few minutes afterwards before they leave, and then to watch the miracle of Reiki happening over 4 days. I mean, to watch the transformation. I had a young girl recently who came in who'd had a hugely traumatic birth, you know, giving birth to her son. And to see her transform from this girl who could hardly walk in the hall door to out walking her baby a few days later up and down this walking track.
Wonderful.
You know, I mean, it's, you know, when you see something like that, I mean, and it's nothing, you know, you just feel, well, that's Reiki, you know, it's just
that's wonderful, that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're in Reiki again and you're doing yoga again, I
yeah.
understand. So I wanted to go back to something that you said in the very beginning of the interview about that when you were teaching yoga and then you took your first degree of Reiki, there was this kind of quantum leap. What were you speaking about?
I used to find it very difficult when I got up early. I got up at 5 every morning to do my yoga in those days. And, you know, I would do the... to the song and fit again, whatever. But I used to find it very difficult to kind of settle myself into meditation or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just, it was after I had the initiation at first degree, when I'd sit down to do my meditation after my physical stuff, I felt this kind of, that's all I can say, and I could feel stillness
coming
wow. to my body. And there was nothing else to account for.
Uh-huh.
But I was treating myself first thing every morning, every day.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And, yeah.
So now you've gone back to, you know, and now that you've come out of retirement, we'll call it, or off your sabbatical, and you're into yoga again. Is it different again?
Oh, it's very challenging. I mean, when I went back teaching yoga, because I think teaching Reiki is so mindless, you know, in a sense. It's so simple.
Yeah.
And then yoga is so chakras and... this muscle and that muscle moving here and there. And initially I was actually laughing at myself because I hadn't realized that I actually had done all this before, and it was like a little machine going on in my head and the words were coming out of my mouth.
Uh-huh.
But physically I found it very challenging, and I'm getting better. I'm improving.
Yeah. You're getting better. You're getting back in shape. Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah? Great.
Yeah.
And, well, you know, it's been really interesting because what I got kind of into yoga myself for a while, and what I learned, which I didn't actually understand when yoga came in as an exercise, is that the yogis in India do all of this exercise to quiet the body so that you can meditate.
That's right.
And it's really interesting because I found it to be really important in my latter years that I exercise or do something, walking or something like that, which I hate walking, but I'm getting used to it, so that I can sit quietly in a Reiki treatment. And I'm wondering if you find that yourself.
Absolutely, Phyllis. And I totally believe that, you know, the balance between doing something physical and Reiki is hugely important.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I would do 12 rounds of Salute to the Sun every day in the mornings. I would walk at least 4 to 5, maybe even 6 days a week, really briskly, and walk for about 40 minutes to an hour. Otherwise, I couldn't sit still for all the time I would to, you know, doing Reiki treatments.
Uh-huh.
I couldn't do it. I have to exercise.
Mm-hmm. I think that's something that I always forget. You know, my grandmother played a round of golf every day, and she walked. I mean, for her, golf was not riding in a cart. That was like cheating.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. I often think about Mrs. Takata when I do exercise or walk or, you
uh-huh.
know, I often think about that discipline in her life and how much Reiki she received as well.
Yes.
I think it's, you know, part of her story. And I always thought she couldn't have done what she did if she wasn't receiving Reiki herself.
Right, exactly.
You know.
Exactly.
And that's that she's been my driving force as far as
uh-huh.
that's concerned.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Great. Well, it's been a wonderful time to talk with you, Regina, and for the listeners also, I'm sure. And I'm just wondering if you have any parting words of wisdom.
Well, I suppose I could do my favorite.
Okay.
Practice, 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 and receive Reiki. That's all I can say.
Okay. Well, Regina, thank you very much. And thank you, listeners, for being with us today. This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki Balancing Form and Essence.
We hope that you've enjoyed today's episode of Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. Be sure to tune in every Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the Seventh Wave Network and discover how you can find balance from within.